All right. Welcome to another episode of Both Sides of the Bed.
Welcome. Yet again.
Mm-hmm. Are you in a relationship, a loving relationship, where you care about your partner, mm-hmm. and overall things are going well?
I am.
But maybe you're dealing with some challenges, some hurdles that you just can't seem to get over.
Yikes.
Maybe you're dealing with some dramas, some past traumas. Some issues with communication.
Definitely.
And you want to make this work. You want to see this through. You want to grow this thing.
You see the vision.
But you need a little help.
Just a little bit.
If that is you, then maybe you might need a relationship coach.
Relationship coaching. You know, in SpongeBob, it's like imagination.
No, I'm too old for that.
Ah. Some of y'all got that.
Yes. But what she said. Imagination. Now, relationship coach. Even when I say the word now, I think about back when I first heard of the term relationship coach and therapist and all of that. And it really seemed like problem. You need to do this to fix the problem or the issue or something wrong with you or something wrong with them. And I definitely shied away from that. But as we've learned over the last year or so with seeking out assistance, that, you know, maybe this might be a good thing.
Yeah. Well, I learned it obviously before seeking assistance because I am a relationship coach. But no, I think a lot of people think of coaching and go to this really negative space. But one thing that I love about coaching is you can, just any type of coaching, but specifically relationship coaching, you can go to it when things are good.
Yeah.
It's not like even when we first started our relationship, I was really like adamant about like starting therapy. And this is before I became a relationship coach. But I was really adamant about going to couples therapy because I felt like there's always something underlying, under the bed somewhere, not to be confused with both sides of the bed, but there's always something somewhere, like some type of problem, even if it's like a nitpicky thing, where I feel like if you're in coaching, no, I'm sorry, if you're in therapy, you can like kind of like pull back the layers and figure out what it is before it becomes a problem. So I really wanted to start it early on. And then like later, because we did do therapy, later on we ended up realizing like we actually need coaching.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so today we're going to talk all about relationship coaching, relationship therapy, the purpose, how it can benefit you and your relationships, the need, and definitely take you into what we've been doing lately with incorporating coaching into our relationship, because we've been doing coaching now for the last 2 months. And for sure, it has definitely supported us in a major way. Two. Yeah. See, it feels like time's just flying. It's been going so well. And we highly, highly recommend to incorporate some form of therapy or coaching, depending on where you are. And we'll get into the specifics of the differences between each, the benefits of both, and why it may be able to help support you. But I'm definitely an advocate for it. And I feel that if more people sought out the support of others who have some experience, who have a lot of experience and who can help guide you along the way, that we could just thrive so much more in our relationships. Because as we speak on different episodes before, there's a lot of hurt people or wounded people or people dealing with things, trying to make these connections and trying to have these relationships when they haven't healed themselves,
yeah.
or they're not clear on who they are or don't really know how to do a relationship. Just because you want to be in a relationship don't mean you know how to do a relationship.
No, absolutely. And just in like my field of study, one thing that I realized and that just honestly frustrates me to no end is the one thing that we all do just as human beings, like the large, I'm talking like 99.9% of us, we have to communicate and we have to deal with relationships, and not even just romantically relationships, relationships with your friends, relationships with your parents, relationships with your siblings. It's like learning how to communicate properly and learning how to just navigate that relationship in a honest and kind and respectful way. We are not taught that. So there's just a lot of arguments that comes up. There's a lot of just like built up negativity or trauma or grudges mm-hmm. that are just held on to because we're not really taught how to navigate those things. And I think it's really quite sad that we as a society have not figured out how to just like add that in. Like, I feel like we talk more in school about fractions than we do communication, and it's the one thing that everybody has to do.
I don't think I talked about communication one bit in school.
I talked about it when I went to college and took a communications course, but yeah, it had nothing to do exactly. But it also had nothing to do with interpersonal relationships and everything to do with, because I was in school for psychology, so it had everything to do with like working with clients and like what that dynamic is like.
Right.
But I mean, yes, interpersonal relationships, but not in the way that like you're sitting down with a pen and paper, like, how do I be better in this relationship and navigate this argument I have with my partner?
Right.
Definitely not that.
Because unfortunately, they don't give a fuck, y'all. They don't care about you. So you gotta care about yourself.
We care about you.
We care about you. So thank you for tuning in to this episode of Both Sides of the Bed. So first, let's start with what is a relationship therapist, or what is relationship therapy, and what is relationship coaching, and the differences between the two.
Okay, so what I always tell my clients is relationship therapy, or just therapy in general, is all about unpacking the traumas that you had, usually having to do with your past and how the things in your past brought you to where you are today and who you are today. Coaching, for the most part, is unpacking that slightly, but it's really about how to push you forward to be your best self in the future. Mm-hmm. And when I work with my clients, because I do both sex and relationship coaching. So when I work with my clients, my ideal client is someone who's already went to therapy. It's like, you already know your traumas, you know what your problems are, and you're already in process of fixing it. It doesn't have to be completely fixed, but you're already in process. And coaching is all about how to get you to that next level and level you up in life. That's how I personally look at it with my business. Not all coaches do, but that's basically the gist of it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, because I will say, what, about a year in, we tried out a therapist.
Yeah.
We found a therapist on an app out there. And initially, it was good. The therapist was able to be a mouthpiece for us and hear our gripes with each other, our challenges,
like
our goals.
Mediator.
Yeah. And she was able to communicate to each other what each other was trying to say.
Yeah.
And asked probing questions that we may not have necessarily thought of, that can help us dig deeper and find out really what's going on mm-hmm. under the surface. And I appreciated that. And at the same time, I realized we were already doing a lot of the therapy stuff ourselves and really digging into, okay, the core, the root, like you were saying, what is the issue trying to come up? Why are we having these challenges? What is it in me that's coming out that I need to learn more about? What is it that you're showing me by maybe ways that you're being, or the things that are triggering me, or things that I continue to just struggle with over and over and over again? And so we asked those types of questions.
Yeah.
She helped us ask those types of questions, and we were able to unpack what issues we had even before we got together that contributed to the challenges that we have now.
And I think it's also important to note that we were also in individual therapy around that same time.
Right.
So we were trying to make this work, guys. We were doing work on ourselves and then work as a couple, which I think is a phenomenal thing to do. I think that if you're really serious about being in a relationship and you have the ability, you should definitely go to therapy. Because like, what ends up happening when you're in a relationship is you learn so many new things about yourself that you just didn't really have the opportunity to have light shed on.
Right.
And if somebody else said it to you, you either dismissed them, didn't agree, or maybe pushed them out of your life.
Right.
But now this is a partner. It's like you're in love, hopefully. You're constantly seeing each other, and this person is seeing your flaws and seeing your patterns. And I think that, unfortunately, a lot of us kind of weaponize that. Like, well, you always do this and you never do that. But instead, we should really look at it like, this person really has an inside look at me. And we live together now, amazingly. and nobody else really gets to see me the way that you do. Like, I've lived with my sister, and I lived with a roommate, and they didn't really get to see like those parts of me the way that you do. It's just different when you're with a partner, and you don't have to live together to get that like inner knowledge about what's going on, your inner workings. But because they have that luxury, it's like we need to capitalize on that. But what ends up happening is we like to suppress it or deny it and start arguments.
Right.
So I think that in doing that inner work, you really get to be an active participant in your healing. So, and also have your partner on the journey with you.
Right. And don't look at therapy as I'm broken or my partner's broken. There's problems. And we just have to fix ourselves because we're all fucked up in the head or anything like that. Like that may be true, you know, for more extreme cases. And also it's therapy. It's therapeutic. It's a way to support you. So you might go to the spa because you got a little aches or whatever, or you may just want to relax. You may just want to revitalize and energize. Yeah. And ground yourself and connect with yourself. And so therapy is just therapeutic, and it operates in the same way. Because some people are like, oh, I don't need therapy, I'm fine. You might be fine. And you still also may have some shit in there that if you would address and get some support on, you'd be even more fine than you were prior to it.
Yeah, and also just like look at your life. Do you just want to be fine? I don't want to just be fine even though I am fine. Mm-hmm. I don't just want to be that. I want to be amazing. I want to be spectacular. I want to just be happy. And fine just doesn't really cut it for me.
Yeah. And so we chose to get into therapy individually so we can work on some things, but also just thrive individually so that we can be better versions of ourselves for our relationship. So I know having that combo of we go through our own session on one day and then we'll have our joint sessions on the other day. And it really helped lay a good foundation for us during a time where it was more challenging during COVID, where things came up and we were forced to have to focus on a lot of the things that we weren't addressing prior to it. It was just a really great support for us.
No, absolutely it was. And I feel like if you're really serious about being in a thriving relationship, you have to do that inner work. Because what ends up happening if you don't is that your flaws, or not even flaws, but your stuff ends up just spilling out all over the place, and it becomes burdensome on your partner, whether we like to admit that or not. It's heavy stuff that, because you know you love me and I love you, it's like we're gonna carry that with us. And it's like it's fine to carry it with your partner, but it also is your partner also has their own stuff.
Right.
So it's like we can carry this all day, but like we don't have to.
Right.
So I think that therapy was really beneficial for us and just realizing we don't have to. And also like paying attention to the things that we really need to work on. But not only what we need to work on, but why they exist in the first place.
Right.
And that's what therapy has done for me.
Well, I will say that though the therapy was great in helping us have that voice to communicate to each other what we were trying to say and ask those probing questions so that we could dive deeper into what was coming up, I did find within a few sessions I was having a challenge of, okay, I'm ready for some action steps. Mm-hmm. What's next? Like, what do I do now that we know this stuff? What can we do to make this better? What can we implement more of? And I feel like that's where I felt like I wasn't fulfilled in the therapy, where because we did a lot of unpacking ourselves. So after a couple sessions, it kind of not got redundant, but it was a little bit limiting because I was ready to like really roll my sleeves up and dig into, all right, what's next? What can we do? What worksheets you got for us? What exercises can we work on? And so that is when we knew that coaching was then the next step for us.
Yes, absolutely. And let's be honest here. It's not like news for those who have listened to the pod, but we're in a DS dynamic. So like going to couples therapy, it was great. It was helpful. It was beautiful. And our therapists were like very vanilla. Right. So being able to just freely talk about our DS dynamic, like I remember we talked about like something and they were just concerned because outside of knowing what a DS dynamic is like, it can put up some red flags. Like, I can agree with that.
Right. And if you're not clear what that is, a dom sub relationship, and knowing what to do with that.
Yeah.
Because I know people automatically go to kink.
Yeah.
And BDSM and all of that side of it. And as we've learned even more now, mm-hmm. as we'll get to momentarily when it comes to coaching, it's so much more than that.
It's and so much more.
Yeah, we weren't able to get the support to help guide that specific style of relationship. Yeah. And I think that's a good segue also to mention that whether it's therapy or whether it's coaching, make sure you have a coach that aligns with your goals.
And your values.
Your values that you resonate with. You know, whether it's your religious beliefs, whether it's your, you know, philosophical beliefs, whether it's just lifestyle stuff, you know, make sure that you're finding a therapist that resonates with you, because you may have an experience that isn't so great with somebody that you just don't click with, but don't let that steer you away from continuing the process of finding someone that works for you, because there's definitely a coach and a therapist for you.
No, absolutely. And I think that in trying and figuring that part out, like, I remember coming to you, like, and it was so weird, like, being a coach and like then realizing, oh, we need coaching. And it was just like this weird feeling of, and like also weird shame of, like, well, I do this, this is my whole career path, so why can't I figure out what's not working and how can I make it better? And I've started putting a lot of pressure on myself because, like, I know the tools, I have, you know, the worksheets you were talking about, I have all the stuff. And I started feeling like a hypocrite. Like, how can I dare to tell someone else how to work their relationship when I'm having these problems in my own? But the whole purpose of coaching, whether you're a coach or not, is to have someone else support you and help you and guide you in that process. And that's why, like, even with therapy, most therapists have a therapist. And it's like you need someone who can look at things very unbiased and give constructive advice. So when I, like, put my ego to the side, I really got to see that. And I remember going to you, like, we need a coach, but we specifically need a DS coach.
Right.
Because it's not necessarily that, like, I don't think we've really talked fully about the our DS dynamic in coaching yet. I don't think we've, like, really peeled back the layers on how to do it properly and how to do this. It's like, you know, we dabbled, and it's been more so just, like, overall relationship coaching. Mm-hmm. But because that we're under that umbrella, that hurt. Because we're under, hit my elbow so bad. Because we're under that umbrella, we're able to speak freely and just, like, we just know what time it is.
Yeah.
It's just simpler.
Yeah. So after that, we were out in the world doing our thing and realized we do need something that supported the style of relationship that we are choosing to do. And so, as specific as a dom sub relationship is and how different it is from the traditional style of relationships, at the end of the day, and we spoke about it in the episodes that we talked about being a dom and sub, and how it's really being a leader and a follower in your relationship. Yeah. And how, regardless of whatever relationship you were in, if you're a man or you're a woman or anything else that you identify with, there's always going to be a leader in a relationship, or there should be a leader and there should be a follower in the relationship. Yeah. And both are beautiful, both are perfect, and both are needed for a happy, healthy, successful relationship. So though we did find a dom sub specific coach or coaches, at the end of the day, it's just finding a coach to help support a leader and a follower in a major way. Because we've been with them for a few months now, and we still haven't really got into specific anything kink based or anything really dom or sub specific. Yeah. It's really being clear that there's a leader and there's a follower, and there's a someone who submits to the other, and there's someone. We haven't even used the word dom. Like even when I talk, to our coach, we just talk about leader, because that's all it is at the end of the day. So I love the fact that we were able to be clear on what that was and like not get distracted by dom, sub, anything, and was able to just break it down to the bare bones of what's most important. And I think that everyone can take that away from what we'll touch on now and what we've been learning from the coaching that we've gotten.
No, absolutely. I think my biggest takeaway from coaching thus far, and it's like, it's hard for me to even share because it was just like such a mind fuck for me, but it sounds so simple, is feeling your feelings and like being in the feminine, really being able to embody your feelings. And when I was first told that, I'm like, I feel my feelings all the time. It's just like, if I'm sad, I cry. If I'm angry, I yell. It's just like, you know, you do the thing. But then it was like broken down as most people, instead of just feeling the feelings, we like kind of logically explain what our feelings are. So it will become, okay, I'm angry. So instead of just being angry, it will be, I'm angry because Amir didn't do XYZ. And because he didn't do XYZ, I got triggered to that one time my mom also didn't do XYZ. And it's like, then I'll like logically break it down and I'll be like, that's why anger is here. Right. And it's like, it sounds cute. It's also good to know the source of it all, but that's not feeling your feelings. Mm-hmm. So because I wasn't feeling it, it's just like our body, like there's that book called The Body Keeps the Score. Mm-hmm. And it talks about trauma just living in your body. And I found that like, I really started to recognize when that trauma or that discomfort or just like those unfelt feelings were just stagnant in my body. Yeah. And it would manifest into my hips being really tight, my neck hurting, my back hurting, me not wanting to be a sexual. And it really is that real.
Right. Let's real quick and continue the thought after this. I just want to make sure that we go in order of how we got into it and where the prompts were from them.
Okay.
So that we could get to the place of even talking about how that was a thing that needed to happen.
No, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And so a big challenge in our relationship has been, I guess, how you express and how I feel about the way you express. Is that accurate to say?
Yeah,
in a nutshell, it's how you express your feelings and emotions.
Tiny pistachio nut.
Right. But just in general, it's how you express your feelings and how I wasn't resonating with the way that you were expressing your feelings.
Yes. And I'll also add on to that of you asking me to shift how I was expressing, but that shift didn't resonate with me.
Right. And so we just kept clashing in, okay, you are a very expressive person. You are really tapped into your emotions and you express, and the way you were expressing was not working with me at all. And therefore it triggered me, and we'll get into that and why it triggered me, but it triggered me. And so I would lash out at you and it just pulled us apart.
It did.
It pulled us apart. So that was the main thing that we went to our coaches with. And our coaches are in a DS dynamic as well.
It's
so,
a couple.
Yeah, it's a couple. So shout out to Andrew and Dawn. And we expressed to them like that this was just a theme that continued to happen. And just looking for guidance, because their coaching style and what appealed to us with them is that it's very much rooted in love.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, if you really want to be in a dom sub dynamic, a leader follower dynamic, you identify with, okay, this is the clear leader, you want to operate in that role, and this is the clear follower and you want to operate in that role. Okay, this is how you can do it with love and allow love and connection to lead your relationship. Not sex, not the money, not fun experiences, none of those things. Those things are also important, but those are not going to get you any extended results.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we went to them with that. And from our first session, we immediately got into how there's a cycle. Yeah. And there's a cycle of you needing to be able to express as the feminine. And we'll say masculine, feminine energies for simplicity. But as a feminine energy, the feminine, and please be open, because it's just, there's a lot of garbage, I will say, around what masculine is and what feminine is and what it means and all of that. And people resist what our natural ways of doing things are. And because, you know, we live in a new world and there's a lot of new ways of going about things, but at its core, there is a masculine energy and there's a feminine energy within all of us.
Yeah, and you don't have to be male to be masculine or female to be feminine. It can be as interchangeable as whatever resonates with you, your being, and your relationship.
Right. So whatever that means to you, to just know that if you resonate with a feminine energy, the feminine is the more expressive ones. Mm-hmm. They need to express their emotions. They need to feel safe enough and free enough to be able to just express.
Yeah.
Period. That is what naturally needs to happen. And whichever one that you operate in, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, but in general, one person in a relationship is going to have a more feminine energy and one person in a relationship is going to have a more masculine energy. So the one who resonates with the feminine energy, they're going to have a higher desire to express emotions. And so, you know, and people kind of know, and it's kind of one of those things that people say that, you know, oh, women are, you know, in their feelings, and they dismiss it as women being in their feelings. And I can say maybe a little of that crept into our situation. And me knowing you're very much in your emotions and tapped into your emotions. And it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It's just naturally what needs to happen. But it's about how I respond and me showing up and what I need to do to support you in your space to express yourself. And on the flip side, the masculine needs to be that rock that can just receive. It's like the waves crashing from the ocean, those rocks. They just need to be able to receive whatever it is, however wild it may be, however relaxed and smooth and beautiful it may be. You just need to receive all the water and just be there to support in that way. And so that was the overarching message that we got very early on. It's like, that's our job.
Yeah, and I think that, not to come at you or anything, but I think that one thing that was really hard for you to conceptualize before we went to coaching is that me being, because I am very much in tune with my feminine energy. I'm very in tune with my emotions. And I think you first saw it maybe as a weakness, and you would tell me, like, you don't always need to feel your feelings. Not everything has to be about feelings. Sometimes it's just, you know, very cut and dry and really clear about whatever. Let's use money, for example. If we're talking about money, there's no emotion involved. And it's just like, yes, and I still have emotions coming up about this situation or about whatever discussion we're having. And it became to feel like there was just really no room to really be in that feminine energy and really feel what I'm feeling. So then it became into a lot of me suppressing that. And I think that's when things got a lot worse for us, because then there was no room for expression on either side. And I say on either side, because I felt like it wasn't allowed in the relationship. And I don't think you were doing it because of whatever ideology was kind of put on you, that you felt like it just didn't have a place. So nobody was really expressing. And then when it was these blow-ups where everything was like built up and built up and built up. Because again, the body keeps the score. We are building it and storing it in our bodies. And at one point it overflows. Yeah. So I think that's when it just became like the cap, and we had to do something different. And coaching really started becoming a part of the dialect we were having.
Yeah, and I'm still working on coming up with my own, I guess, philosophy on it based on receiving information from our coach. And that's another thing, like when it comes to therapy or coaching, just because you're giving information doesn't mean that every single word that the person is telling you, you have to live on as law. You're supposed to take these things and apply them to your life. And what resonates with you, you keep. And the things that don't necessarily resonate with you, you can get rid of. Not to say that what they said doesn't resonate, but I'm still coming up with my own conclusion on how I feel about that. Mm-hmm. Because as a man who is very logical in my thinking, I am tapped into my emotions, and I do understand the need to express emotions, and I do understand there's scenarios where emotion is very important to get that out.
Yeah.
And I understand there's just times in life where that is not the most productive thing to do to accomplish a specific goal.
Yeah.
To allow your emotions to control you and to lead with your emotions. I do think there's still a place, whether you're a man or a woman, where you got to recognize the situation and understand, okay, I feel this, I acknowledge my feelings, and I'm going to just let it ease on out instead of pouring out and just blowing up everywhere. So I don't think it's just, it's a free for all. Okay, well, this doesn't serve the situation right now, but I'm angry or I'm frustrated or I'm sad, so I'm just going to fucking cry and pout and scream and yell. I don't think that always is the case. So I do think there is some level of accountability that needs to happen when you are someone who knows you need to express. But I don't think it's right for me to deny your right to feel your feelings. I think there's a space where I can help support you, maybe offer some ways to express in a way that supports the situation if it calls for a certain thing, and hoping that you trust in me to help make this better and how we can go and express. And on the other side, I can completely throw that out the window and know there's some times where fuck all that, it doesn't matter, you just got to get the shit out. And that was the biggest challenge that I'm still working on. I'm still working on it. And I've been needing Andrew. I've been texting him like, yo, bro, I understand, let her express, but goddamn, this shit is hard because I don't understand why it has to be so much. But he keeps pushing me and challenging me and making sure that I understand you just got to let it out. And you just got to let it out. And to trust that me allowing you to let it out is not me co-signing your emotions. It's not me saying this is good or bad or anything. It's just saying this is me honoring you and seeing that this is what you need to feel your feminine self, to allow it to happen. And by me allowing you to let that happen, it's not me agreeing or disagreeing or anything. It's just allowing. And by that process continuing to happen, you feel, you express, you let go, I allow, then it'll just dissipate. It won't stay stuck in your body.
It won't.
And by that happening a few times, it may not even come up as much. And there's been times where, yeah, you'll express, and there's been times I didn't necessarily agree with it, but I allowed you to just do that. I didn't say anything. I just held space for you, and it did get better. So I do see the benefit in honoring that.
No, there's definitely a need for that. And I have been seeing your growth, and it's made me feel so safe and just so much relief in having that space to feel. You know, I had a great experience with that shortly after our plant medicine experience, where I just felt so rageful, and I can't count many times where I just felt pure rage. And it wasn't even something that even I deem rage worthy, but I just felt so much rage in my body. And we were having an argument, and it wasn't the most productive way to express this rage. I will agree with that. And I expressed this rage. And after, I felt like so much lighter. I felt like, you know that feeling when you have like really good water after just being so thirsty?
Mm-hmm.
It felt like that, like just like relief.
Right.
And I could just let it go. I didn't think about it after. I didn't like bask in why it happened or the way it happened. I just honestly felt free.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I really understood that difference that I was talking about earlier, about feeling your feelings and then kind of like, I call it mansplaining your feelings, because mm-hmm. that's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like talk, like logically explaining what your feelings are rather than just feeling them. And that was like my first time really comprehending that.
Right.
But I don't know. I think that, and it's also like when you have so much, everybody has so much stuff. It's like everybody has their own trauma. Everybody has their own just baggage. Mm. And somebody's baggage might look lighter to some, but it's to them, the person who has it, it's just like, that's so heavy. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you can't really compare like whose baggage is worth more or heavier. It's just like baggage is baggage. So I feel like I came to this relationship with a lot of baggage, definitely more than you. And I only say that because we've both agreed upon that.
Right.
but definitely more. And so like something small might be something way bigger under the surface because of that baggage that I was just carrying on and never really fully felt. And I feel like in the last like 2 years, I've been really feeling the shit out of it. Mm-hmm. And it's been so much relief in that process. And what you were saying about not allowing yourself to logically explain it or even agree with it, but just letting me feel it, it's created so much security in my life. Mm. Where I can just let it go, just like stuff that I've been carrying for the last 11 years, I can just finally just like, oh, okay, like this was my baggage, but like I can send it to baggage claim now and somebody else can claim this, but I don't need to claim this anymore.
Right.
And that's been really freeing.
Right. Speaking of baggage, another thing that Andrew really challenged me with, and I understood right away where he was coming from, and me being the leader, I have to guide the ship.
Mm-hmm.
So me arguing with you, me disagreeing with how you're doing something, because that day we were talking about where you got really rageful, I didn't handle that the way I was supposed to handle that. We've already was in coaching, I knew the steps, but it was like, I hated so much that you felt you were gonna lash out at me in that way, given how much I do and all this stuff. And I felt like it was wildly disrespectful for you to go there and not be able to control yourself, all this stuff. And I think we both can agree, you could have handled it differently.
I agree.
And it doesn't matter how you handle it. Me being the leader, for myself, number one, I have to protect myself and my energy and know that by me reacting to you with that kind of energy, it doesn't even serve me. So we'll get to you. But first, even for myself, it doesn't serve me for my own greater good to react in that way. So I got to hold it down for myself. I got to guard my energy. I got to be able to be good for myself, so that I can be the leader that I'm supposed to be for us and guide the ship where it needs to be. Yeah. But if I'm all angry and going crazy, where the hell am I thinking I'm about to take this ship? I'm about to crash into some rocks or iceberg and be Titanic with it in a second.
Yeah.
Because I'm not helping nobody. But if I can be unshakable, allow you to do what you need to do and communicate in a powerful, strong, but also loving way, that's not okay. We're not going to do this anymore. We're going to go and do this and keep on doing that until it works and connects for you, that's a much better option. Because me yelling at you, you clearly ain't going to hear me. We're just going to be yelling at each other and nobody feels good. So I was understanding the weight of being the leader, because being the leader in a relationship, especially for men, I think our egos get involved a lot of times. It's like, well, I'm the leader, so we gonna do things my way because I said we gonna do it this way. And you feel this sense of power in that you get to kind of dictate what happens in your relationship. Yeah, cool, that's cool. But there's also a great responsibility that comes with that.
Yeah.
And that means, yeah, you gotta be able to withstand what your partner might be given and be able to guide without getting into a space of anger and frustration and going crazy on them and allowing them the space to do what they need to do. But you're so secure and unshakable. That's my word for 2024. I'm going into 2024. Unshakable.
Yeah, that's been my word for a while.
Yeah.
I love it.
No matter what you got going on over there, I'm going to love you through all of that and give you space to do what you need to do. But I'm going to be unshakable and I'm going to steer the ship and myself where we need to go.
And that's a lot of pressure, and it's also, I imagine, exhausting.
It's not easy. It's hard. There's a lot of triggers. And the beautiful thing about it, though, is it forces you to face your shit. Because it's like, we'd argue, I'd be like, why the fuck is it so hard? Like, why can't I just stay calm right now? Why do I constantly get so angry? Yeah. Why? And that's part of the shadow work that we spoke about in the last episode. Having to ask those questions. Why do I feel like this? Why am I doing this right now? And wait for the answer. Don't try to figure it out. Just allow the answer to come to you. And the answer that I got is why I was so angry is because it's my past traumas from my past relationship coming back up, where negative energy and arguments that happened back then made me feel a certain kind of way. And though it's very different in different situations, different person, and it's all different, it's also still very much the same in terms of just overall. I mean, shit either feels good or it doesn't at the end of the day. So anger is anger regardless. And last time, it was a really negative situation connected to a person that it wasn't the best for me. It didn't feel good. So now, if those same feelings are now with this new person that I'm with, who I love very much, but it's the same feelings.
Yeah.
So it's going to trigger that same anger from the past, no matter what, until I look at it in the face and recognize the root cause of it and realize, okay, I'm not this angry right now because you did whatever you did. I'd probably be a little frustrated, maybe even a little angry. But that big blow up and me going crazy, that's because I'm triggered by some old shit that I never healed from.
Absolutely. And again, the body keeps the score. It's held in there. So it's like, even if, and the reason why the body holds on to this, I learned this when I became a massage therapist. The body holds on to trauma because the brain can't handle it. So your brain will turn off and be like, you won't remember that shit. But your body remembers because it has to go somewhere. So like, I would like massage someone. They have what's called trigger points. It's like these points that feel extra sensitive. It's like you tap somebody and they're just like cringing. And then it's like you start to release the trigger point, and sometimes you have an emotional response. And you'll start bursting out laughing or crying or screaming. Because that trauma, even though in going through that process, your brain might not even trigger like what the source is, but you will feel that exact feeling again until you finally let it out of your body. And that's just very much how we humans are. We hold that in somewhere in our body, or either deep in our mind or somewhere in our body. And for me, experiencing that from you, because you are my first real thorough relationship, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have real past traumas with other people in a relationship. So when stuff would come up and I'm feeling a certain way and I'm feeling angry and I lash out, I can always tell when you are triggered. And it would make me feel sad and shame for triggering you, because I don't ever want to trigger you. I love you. And it also made me feel like it's not fair. Like I can't fully feel what I feel because of this other person that has absolutely nothing to do with me. It's like, I can't fully express this thing or say this thing because it might trigger you because of what they did. And it felt really unfair, and it sucked. Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's important that when you do identify past traumas that may not have to do with your partner, and you start learning about these things that are contributing to your issues with your partner, that you bring it to the table and you discuss it. Because if you never knew why I was get so angry, then you would just be mad at me for getting so angry, and I'm not communicating to you what the issue is. We're not getting to the root. We're not connecting. We're not communicating. We don't understand. So we'll never be able to get to a place where you give me a little bit more grace. Okay, well, I don't like this, but I at least understand. I know he came out of some shit before. I get why he used to get angry then. And I understand that I might be presenting some similar energy to him. So that's why he is where he is now. So that helps you maybe navigate a little bit differently.
Yeah, definitely.
And also just give me grace. And also just allow me to know that you support me and you understand, so I can breathe a little easier and just work on working through that.
Yeah.
You know, so it felt good to know that I could share that with you and start working on that. And I think that I'm moving in the right direction in regards to that. And give yourself some damn time, because I'm not perfect. I'm sure if you do something that I don't like a week from now, you know, it might bring up some other emotions, and that's okay. But you keep on working on it, and slowly it'll continue to get better.
No, definitely. I think we're notorious for, and I pat ourselves on the back for, we might go back to those old ways of thinking or being, but catch ourselves. So it's like, we'll do the thing that we shouldn't have done. We'll be like, you know what? That was shitty. I shouldn't have done that. Please give me the opportunity to do better.
Yeah.
And we give that opportunity. And even though, like, the thing, you know, you can't take, there's no undo button, as we discussed earlier. Yeah. There's no undo button, but there is a, allow me to try again. And let's have a bit of a fresh start. And I know that might leave a nasty taste in your mouth, but let me give you some water. Right. Let's wash it out and try again. Right. And I think that we do a good job of that.
Yeah. And when things come up, we have finally got to a place where most of the time we bounce back a lot quicker.
A lot quicker.
Or in the moment when something happens, one of our patterns, because you start to realize, you start having similar patterns over and over and over, again.
The longer you
are with somebody, it's kind of the same shit over again in 17 different ways.
Yeah.
So once that starts happening, we can start seeing it coming, and we can slow it down and make adjustments in real time and make it better in real time. Or if we can't control it and it happens, we can have an adult, responsible, loving conversation sooner, so it doesn't have to linger on for 3, 4, 5 days.
Yeah.
You know, it's always still a challenge, but it's a lot easier, you know. And so that's where we are now in our process, after only being in coaching for, 2 or 3 months now.
Yeah. I look forward to the 6 month and the year mark and see what happens.
Right. Okay. Right. And I also feel really equipped now to be able to help support other people. Like, I look forward to learning more about other couples' relationships and knowing that, like, we could really be a real support for them now, having this component to things.
No, definitely.
Yeah. And as I sit here and think about this and coaching and getting this support, I think about, like, our friends who we talk to and just people that we run into, especially people when they realize that we have this podcast about relationships, and how much we're able to kind of, like, get in tune with their situations and be able to offer support in that way, and how enjoyable it is. Shout out to all the therapists and coaches out there, because it's really fun. It's really enjoyable, but it's also fascinating that it's so much easier to support others, you know, when you have challenges in your own relationship. And, like, when you're really, like, doing this work, it's a lot easier to help support others when you're not in the thick of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're not in the thick of their things.
When you're not in the thick of their things, because you're having objective perspective of everything.
Yeah, and you also have your own experience to pull off of, and that's why I think it's easy to, like, give our friends advice about what's going on. I would definitely say that for me as a coach, it's been really eye-opening being coached. And it just really has helped shift how I coach. Like, my whole thing about coaching is about helping people to become closer to themselves and how to have a better relationship with themselves so that they can have a better relationship with others. I also work with couples to help figure out what they can do in their own dynamic, whether it's a DS dynamic or not, how they can shift to make it more productive, more happy, more loving. And also just the tools for communication. We talked about that earlier. We are not given the proper tools to communicate in relationship, to have thriving relationships. And that's what I really thrive or pride my business on, and trying to help people do that. Another part of my coaching is helping people get a sensual connection with themselves. Like, sensuality is embedded into sexuality, but sexuality is not embedded into sensuality. So when you have that sensual connection to yourself, it's my belief that you become your most confident, your most self-aware, and you also create standards for who you allow yourself to be and who you allow into your life, right. Especially romantically. Right. So that's what I do with coaching. And in being in this process with you, it's really helped me to think about, especially the male's perspective of how things are, and really paying attention to the weight that's on your shoulders. I think it's easier for me to connect with women and to really see what's going on with their emotions and with their experience and how to best address it with ease and love and class and grace for yourself and for, you know, whoever else is in the situation. And then like men, it's so funny, like when I first started, like my, target audience was women or femmes. And I just got a lot of men. Right. There's a lot of men. And it was just like a little jarring for me because I just wasn't used to that. But it's really helped in doing it. And when working with these amazing gentlemen, it's helped me to open my eyes to the male experience and what y'all go through. And it's also helped me be better as a coach moving forward, for regardless of what your gender identity is.
Yeah, it was dope for me to receive coaching. Especially receiving coaching from a man for this phase of things, to be able to go beyond the surface stuff and kind of, for lack of a better word, the caveman explanation of what our male situation is and our challenges, because we have like this general way of explaining and, you know, what our challenges are when it comes to our interpersonal relationships with women, like, you know, the man-woman struggle and what that is. We have like very surface understanding of what the problems are, what just the challenges are. So to be able to dive deeper and understand really what it is the issue on the male side, and like understanding we have a lot of weight. It's a lot of responsibility to lead, just point blank period. We have a lot on our shoulders. It's a lot to lead, and because masculine energy and feminine energy is so different, it's very difficult to understand y'all a lot of times. Yeah. And it's very difficult to be able to support you properly because we don't understand you and we're coming from our masculine perspective, and we have to somewhat put that on the shelf and kind of put on the feminine hat for a minute to understand what it means to be a feminine energy and what comes with that, and be able to do that. Because as a man, it's like, I don't want to fucking tap into that shit. I'm a man. That's for y'all. Like, y'all just emotional. But like, nah, you have to be able to empathize with, you know, if you're a man, with your woman, if you have a woman, like, it's very important to empathize with her. Put yourself in her shoes so that you can understand her, so that y'all can get closer. If you love her the way you say you love her, or care about her the way you say you care about her, we got to be able to do that. And I think that was a new breakthrough for me, to really be able to understand what it is that you need and why you need the things that you need. So it really made me excited to be able to help support others on an even different level. Like, instead of just talking about it, like, really, I'm ready to get my coach on too and be able to support in a very real way. You know, so yeah, I would love to talk with you, with couples together, like do the work together. Yeah. And like, you know, we've been talking about doing workshops and meetups and things like that. I am hyped for that. I'm really hyped for that, because, you know, we could talk about this all day. We could do this all day. But to really be able to support others in the way that we've been supported through therapy and coaching, I think that's so dope.
No, absolutely. Yeah, we definitely added that on to our coaching platform, on that we do couples coaching together. And it doesn't have to be a couple, but like, we as a couple coach you and your counterpart or yourself or whatever it is. But I just wanted to touch on what you said earlier about it's important to put, you know, that masculine just ideology or thought process or feelings to the side to really empathize with the feminine experience. And it's also really important to realize that you also have that, you know, the like the yin yang symbol is a really good example of just having that little bit of both in order to create balance. And it's not just all on us and our experience. You also have that experience. And I think the reason why men have a hard time really understanding the female experience and really being able to empathize with it is because they suppress their own and they don't want to face the fact that, like, hey, I also have emotions. I have emotions that have been suppressed. I have trauma that has not been healed. And I have to work through that and cry through that and scream through that to fully let it go. And I think that when that happens with all people, any people in a relationship or just even out of a relationship, it's really important to have real healing in your life. And yeah, that's what I do in coaching, and that's what I want to continue to do. And when it comes to bringing you into it, and one thing I love about you is, like, I will have a client and I'm trying, and they'll have a problem and I'm trying to, like, figure it out, and I'll talk things off with you, and it's just so natural, just the advice you give. And that's why I wanted to start doing the coaching opportunities where it's you and I, because then you get what you get from this podcast. You get both the masculine and feminine perspectives of what's going on in your actual relationship and how we can help and support you to navigate that and figure that out to the best of the ability, to your ability, and make it a real profound experience. I think that that's I think that's a beautiful thing. I think it's so helpful both having both Andrew and Don for us, because we get that, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up, because that was probably one of the biggest benefits that I've gotten out of just being in the relationship with you. And now, especially since emotions and feelings are such a center point in the work that we are doing with our coaches right now, in being able to tap into my emotions. Mm. Like we talked about, you know, what we've been working on in terms of our spiritual journeys, and me being able to express my emotions has been something new for me over the last few years. I'm a person, if I feel something, I know it's there, but if I got shit to do right now, or if I can't put that time and energy into it because I need to focus on getting the thing done, I'll suppress. And yes, us as men, we are suppressors, and we are get shit done, logic, strength, power, being a man, and we don't feel that there is time or space or safety to be able to express how we feel. But at the end of the day, humans, the human experience makes it so that we have to express. Just yeah. Being a human, we need to feel, we have feelings. And if we were allowed as men to let our feelings show, we can see better, we can navigate better. We can just feel better in letting it out. Sometimes you just gotta let it out. Because if not, and again, touching back to the shadow work and how it's so important, you just have shit. You just keep tucking away in the corner in that shadow until you have this big pile of shit that you haven't addressed. And then you wonder why you're so stressed all the time. Or you wonder why you're lashing out on your partner or your kids.
You wonder why your back hurts.
Yeah, or your back hurts. Or yeah, you have pains and you're just walking around tight. You know, it's because you have all this suppressed energy that you don't allow out. So that's been one of the biggest lessons that I've been able to incorporate into just my life, being able to, when I feel something, to also express it.
Yeah.
Just express it and let it out. And I've been feeling so much better. And it doesn't make me feel feminine. The crying thing still ain't a high thing on my my list of things. But even that, like whatever it is, and I'm learning to even tune into that one, because sometimes crying is necessary too. So I encourage all the men out there to just listen to what your body is saying. Listen to what your heart is saying. Listen to what your gut is saying in terms of connecting with your feelings. Don't feel like it's a woman thing to do. It's a human thing to do. So feel your feelings, express your feelings, love your feelings, and encourage yourself and other men to do that, because that's like one of our biggest problems, feeling. Yeah. We don't do that. And so the more we can do that, the more we can make the world a better place, the more we can have better relationships with our women, and the whole masculine feminine duality can just work in such a beautiful way.
No, absolutely. And also it just creates so much deeper connection with your person.
Yeah.
When they just see you feeling and just being authentic with it and just allowing and demanding and also creating space for growth.
Right.
There's such a deep connection that happens with that. And deep connection leads to deeper happiness, which leads to better sex. And we all, I think, want those two things.
Right. And guys, ladies love vulnerable men. Men that can just express. You'd be surprised how many women find that attractive, that you're strong enough to show these other sides of you. Because those hard, rigid, cold men that don't, women feel that disconnect. Yeah. So if you do want to get closer to your feminine counterpart, just express yourself.
Yes, emotional intelligence is a very sexy thing.
Yes. So do we have anything else to add to this conversation?
Yeah, if you really are serious, we say it at the end, or I say it at the end of every episode, if you're really serious about taking your intimate journey to the next level, I hope this episode helped you understand fully what that meant. If you want to figure out who you are deeply, who your sensual self is, who your sexual self is, how to communicate better, how to operate better as yourself and also in your relationship. And if you want constructive, active tools to work through in order to get better in that way, we are here for you. You can reach me at b-intimate.com. You can reach us both at bothsidesofthebed.tv or on our Instagram at bothsidesofthebed. And we're here to help. We have a lot to offer. We're in the process ourselves, but we still know what the hell we're talking about. So reach out.
Yeah, and I just want to stress the communication and the connection. If nothing else, if you want to be able to communicate, if you want to be able to be communicated with better, if you feel your voice is not being heard, or if you're not understanding your partner, you know that the communication part is the biggest part of all of this. So if for nothing else, if we can all just learn how to communicate more and be able to reap the benefits and the power of better communication, get yourself a coach, whether it's with us or somebody else that resonates with you. Get yourself a coach. Get yourself a therapist. Do the work for yourself and for the people that you love.
Yes, don't just do the work, but be the work. You are a work in progress. We're constantly a work in progress. And being constructive in that and having support in that is, I think, a vital part of the recipe.
Yes. So with that being said, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Both Sides of the Bed. We love y'all. Thank you for continuing this ride with us. And we have plenty more to come. We are just getting started.
Just getting started.
So until next time, stay tuned for the sexy.
Stay tuned for the sexy.